It is Friday, the 7th of March, and this is episode 199 of Digital Outbox. The big countdown to episode 200. I am Chris. I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
Are we excited for 200?
Not really.
No. And kind of hope that there will be something a little bit more interesting than we've got to talk about today.
I'm kind of hoping that, like a new iPhone, a new tablet, something, anything.
Google, do something.
I mean, it's like Samsung. We need to launch something every week. Come on.
And they'll choose next week to not to do anything, probably. Anyway, let's get through 199 before we get onto the excitement of episode 200. So let's talk about what's happening this week, or happened this week. And we're starting with a story where the UK advisor to the internet filter software that's been implemented has been arrested under child pornography charges. This is a little bit embarrassing.
This is embarrassing. And obviously it's a solemn, disgusting topic. But egg in your face, Tories.
The problem with this story is that is what it is. It is that egg on the face side of things. On a pretty unsavoury topic. And people are obviously leaning on the fact that, I don't know what it proves one way or the other, but
it doesn't prove so much. It's just the fact that somebody at that level was involved in setting policy for something that obviously, he's now been caught doing.
Yes,
and I think that the other part of the story was it was kind of hidden for 3 weeks, and the government are saying, well, it's because we didn't want to comment on it, and the police were doing inquiries, etc. But it was really effectively buried, and then a whole lot of stuff about Harriet Harman came out a few days before it, and it was just. Timing's everything.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as the filters go, it proves nothing. They're not changing anything on that front. We go.
Virgin turned their filters on last week.
Fabulous. What good news.
Yes. And so it's off by default. So I had logged on and I thought, let's go and see what choices there was. And it was just a choice of off or on.
Right, so there's no even filtering.
And not, remember the BT one that had like 20 categories? This was just... if you don't want porn and also will hide all these other things, then toggle the switch.
Yes. And is that, do we know that's default off for just existing customers? Because the idea was that for all new customers, these things were going to be turned on.
I think for new, it's on.
Yes. But you still got to go to a website and embarrassingly tick a box if you want these unsavory topics.
Yes.
Bitcoin's been in the news as well because MT Gox, is that how you say it? Is that how people are? Could be Mt. Gox.
I was calling it Mt. Gox. I don't know.
Anyway, it's a Bitcoin exchange. So obviously the companies that there are multiple exchanges. Am I right?
Yes.
This is one of several around the world. This is in Japan, and it has filed for bankruptcy. Apparently they had a loophole in their security which leaked some of customer money. I think something in the region of 700 million, is that right?
Yeah, 350 million.
Okay, so 350 million leaked of customer money, and then basically they've got other debts as well. And it's just all the kind of... Because countries and government organisations and generally speaking people don't know what to make of Bitcoin... they don't really know what to do. They want to make it something that's not regulated and therefore is illegal, not real tender. But the fact is that you can apply value to anything in this world, and people are applying value to Bitcoins.
The bit I always found bizarre was things like, if you did trade your Bitcoins in, it was taking maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks to get actual money. And it's like, that doesn't strike me as a currency I want to invest in. Thanks very much.
Well, no... But you've got to understand that there are underlying powers here that clearly don't want you to. They don't want you to use bitcoins. Basically, they'd like rather you have their nice regulated currency. Thank you very much, which supports all their power infrastructures. But is that sounding paranoid again? Probably. They would rather bitcoins didn't exist because they're not country partisan, right?
Yes.
And that's and the also, whole issue. That's why we're going to see it slurred.
Exactly. And this was, I guess...
I've been watching Game of Cards. And it's,
House of Cards.
Sorry, House of Cards. Yeah, I'm mixing all my favourite TV shows up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm very much for the conspiracies at the moment.
No, and certainly this was a disruptor. You know, I think, is it 4 or 5 years old? And right at the start, you know, it was easy to mine bitcoins, and now it's incredibly difficult. You know, the amount of money and CPU power you need to do to actually mine them is massive. And obviously big business are in there as well. There's a lot. I think it was last year when it started, the price was ticking along. It was always bubbling up, and then it just kind of spiked. And a lot of investors were like, I'm in.
High risk investors made so much money in bitcoins, even after they thought it had got to its little peak, because suddenly it went exponential. They went up to $1,000 per coin.
Yeah. And I mean, Silk Road was you know, so obviously it was because everybody believed that you couldn't, you know, it was untraceable. It was great for these underground, you know, websites and buying drugs, etc. So it's been associated with that. But lots of legit people own bitcoins.
Well, they do now because of the investment side of things. They saw that they could make a buck from it.
And the Winkle Voss twins, you know, from Facebook notoriety, they've invested loads of money, and they want to set up a proper, you know, legitimate exchange. And other exchanges have come out and said this one crashing is good because it was always a bunch of jokers. You know, I think it started off as a game. An in-game kind of currency type website, and then it morphed into bitcoins when Bitcoin started growing. Another little stat, you know, I like my stats: 927 people own half of the bitcoins in the world.
Wow! So there's people there with an awful lot riding on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, again, there's something to be said about it. I think we will see regulation massively ramp up. We'll see something happen. I think here you go. My predictions, we will see bitcoins put out of action by government organizations at some point. There you go. It won't be that long away.
And did you see the Newsweek thing that came out a couple of days ago?
No, what was that?
They originally found the founder of Bitcoin. So there's a guy called Dorian Nakamoto, birth name Satoshi. And seemingly this is a 64-year-old Japanese-American who's living in Los Angeles. And they'd done this whole expose and it got lots of press, but then people looked into it and the guy was like, I only had a Bitcoin 5 weeks ago. and it just all seemed a bit, you know.
This whole weird, the machines started. Yes.
Yeah. So very, whispers. Very, 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 very strange.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. My prediction. It's not really a very, it's an obvious prediction, should we say this. But yes, Bitcoins will disappear, but not without fight. Anyway. Flipboard. So it's been pushing some cash around. It's buying Zeit from CNN. So CNN bought this 3 years ago. So what's Zeit?
Zeit was a kind of Flipboard competitor. They all came around at the same time. So this was when, you know, it was what, maybe 6 months, a year after the iPad had come out, and we started seeing these magazine type content.
So it was scraping content and displaying them up in a nice way. Yeah.
Flipboard got a lot of press. There was Zeit. There was a few others that I just can't remember. They all kind of came out, and
Flipboard won out, really, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Zeit obviously won out because at the time, you know, getting bought for $20 million by CNN was a big deal.
Half won. They got some money at least. Yeah,
they got some money. And then 3 years later, CNN have basically said, Flipboard, you take Zeit, and also we're putting all our content on Flipboard.
Yes, because Flipboard, one of Flipboard's main reasons for the bad press they had at the time was people stopped letting content go out to it because they said it was infringing on their own content, basically. They didn't have permission to use it in the way they were using it. But this is CNN now saying you can do that. You can buy Zeit from us. You can have CNN content on Flipboard. And Flipboard have paid $60 million for this.
And seemingly what they're looking at is, obviously they're getting the CNN content, which is important to them because it legitimizes what they do. But seemingly also some of the technology that Zeit had. I don't know if you've been in Flipboard and you can do...
Not for ages. It's not my daily commute, my app commute.
No, you can create your own magazine and you can have multiple magazines and different topics. So we could have a podcast one, you could have a Bitcoin.
But the Flipboard does that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you create your magazine. Yep. Other people can subscribe to your magazine, and then you it's almost like a kind of Tumblr inside Flipboard. So you're basically saying, here's all the things I find interesting in this particular topic, and there's a few you know, tech kind of folk out there doing some really interesting stuff. I mean, it's a quadcopter.
The idea being that they can put out what they find interesting and other people will find that interesting. They do the curation, basically.
Yes, and it's great. As I said, I mean, quadcopters, it's all over the place and it keeps on popping up in little places. And there's one guy doing, or there's a couple of guys doing some just great magazines. So I subscribe to them and every weekend pop in and think, yep, still £1,000.
When an, yeah, exactly. They're never going down. Yeah, when I wonder what these guys think. Well, their hobby is now turning into a job. Surely you expect to see their new magazine every week.
I'm just thinking, I just think quadcopter and I pop down and see one of your races just hover above you. obviously I can't. But
on test days, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe on test days. Okay, so anyway, that's the site. All the employees that were employed into Zite are now going to get taken across into Flipboard.
Apart from the founder of Zite.
There we go.
Bless.
Oh. Apple CarPlay, they have announced their kind of in-car solution. They kind of, they had their hand forced a little bit by all these other announcements by Android and a number of other organizations recently. So Apple have come forward and said, here's our offering. And, you know, fully integrated system plugs in, you know, via your Thunderbolt port and is what they're calling eyes-free operation. So basically integrating Siri commands, but wider. So it'll actually control bits of your car as well as the stereo and the, you can have app integration so you can play Spotify through your stereo and things like that.
Yeah. And this, they announced last year, I think they just called it like iOS in the car or something cheesy like that.
Yes.
And we heard nothing, but obviously they've now called it CarPlay.
And there's going to be a button on the steering wheel. They're going with high-end. So Mercedes, Ferrari and Volvo are starting off the process. Others will follow. It's going to be an options on the options list, right?
Absolutely. And obviously it's all high-end. It looked... No, it was really weird. Apple are usually so in control of like all their ecosystem. And the Volvo integration looked really nice. Looked like really nice hardware and really nicely done. The Ferrari one looked awful.
Right.
It looked like a really crap tablet.
You could see the wire going up to the button on the steering wheel. Yeah.
It was just like, you know, there's this lovely dash and there's this, you know, you've almost like got a Brodit, you know, and just a tablet stuck in. Yeah. And it did look that kind of clunky. And it's the usual with Apple, so they're saying that obviously you've got their maps and it's their music and it's their text messaging, but they are kind of partnering with some third-party apps, so Spotify, Beats Radio, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and they're talking about other partners as well. But it's like, if you're a developer, you'd be like, how can I get, you know, and there's been a few good ideas, you know, how can I get, you know, if you were, what's the Amazon book service that reads audiobooks? If you were an audiobook subscriber or whatever.
Kindle, or do you mean... Why can't I remember? Audible.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, so if you were, you know, one of those and you just wanted it to, you know, Siri, read me that book, you know, if you're on a long drive. But if you've not got the integration, you're stuffed.
Yeah, maybe that's something they'll loosen off as they go forward, as they see people with good ideas. A bit like, you know, they open up the app store, maybe they'll have an in-car app store as well. They'll loosen that little control.
I'm so cynical because of the, you know, things like Siri haven't been open. I mean, Siri's been around for coming up for 3 years now and it's still not opened up to third parties. It's just criminal.
It'll happen. They want to get it right.
I don't know they want to get it right. I just looked at it and thought, this is like rich man's toy. I'm not going to go and buy a car for this. And I guess I also feel slightly burnt because when I got my, and I didn't even know I had any integration in the car, so it wasn't like I bought the car to get some iOS integration. But I got my Civic and I could plug in my iPhone and it was all, I could control it with the dash and it's like, this is really nice. And then iOS 6 came out and I was like, it's not quite as nice now. And then it went to Lightning and so I had to get a different connector. And then iOS 7 came out and I was like, oh, it is actually now just broke.
Yeah.
So I've now just paid £20 and got a little Bluetooth adapter and I just stream it that way.
Yeah. Mm. It seems to be, you know, what they're pushing, push now anyway. So in-car seems to be the thing. So I think we're going to see bigger plays happen. I think they will, at their, you know, next announcement, I think we'll see more. And
maybe. And I do wonder, is this, remember Tim Cook for the last, 2 years has kept on saying we've got new revenue streams. Is this one of them?
I mean, clearly manufacturers want to be associated. They want to be associated with these manufacturers. I'm sure there's some deals going down. you know, it's a good selling point as an option in the car. Keeping on Apple, they've got the announcements based around Apple TV. They've announced some figures for the first time in a while, and they reckon they've generated about $1 billion through Apple TV. That is through unit sales plus content sales through the actual TV. But still a massive chunk of cash.
Considering they call it a hobby, that's not a hobby. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, the $1 billion for them is a hobby though, isn't it?
I know, but if you think of the other businesses out there...
Most other businesses, that would be their dream. But yeah,
we're done. You know what I mean? Yeah, we've made $1 billion this year, but done.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, clearly it's hitting a market, even though it's not ever been fully fleshed out. It is what it is. And they always said it was just going to be what it was going to be. You know, but it's done better than its competitors, really. So Roku's probably their closest competitor, and they've sold about 8 million units. Roku much bigger in the US.
Yes.
Because they're integrated. I think Roku integrate with quite a few of their kind of big content providers. So,
and I think they've been out traction. For longer. They've got an app store on it. You know, so you can go and download like Plex apps easily and all that kind of good stuff.
Certainly on, you know, US-based podcasts and, you know, just direct tech news sites, Roku comes up a lot more than does on UK.
If I hadn't bought the Apple TV, because I was waiting for the kind of Roku 3 to come here, if I hadn't bought that... and Rocky 3 came out, I would have picked it up, and I know Brian picked it up and loves it.
Yeah.
It's not got the brand, that's the problem. I mean, I overheard the conversation at work, and it was a couple of women in the office, and one of them was like, I got an Apple TV at Christmas, it's the best present I've ever had. And it was like bizarre, but she thought it was great that she could just get photos and watch movies.
Put the TV,
And it was all there, and it was dead easy to use, control it from my iPhone.
But I think that's the state of the UK market, though, isn't it? We're not used to doing that yet. Even though now we can buy TVs and all that smart TV stuff, most people aren't used to plugging their TV into the internet yet. Whereas I think in US, they're just that little bit different. They are used to that kind of side more of things.
It was just interesting hearing that what I'd class as a non-techie and non-geek. Yeah, yeah. Just a normal.
A normal person. They exist. Keeping on the Roku side of things, they've actually stolen a march on Google with effectively they've got stick streaming. So they have got a Roku product which just acts almost like a USB stick into your HDMI socket. And inside that USB stick is got enough processing capability to stream 1080p content. It will have integrations into all the major kind of TV providers, so BBC iPlayer, 4AD, YouTube, Netflix. And, you know, it's... How much does it cost? £50, I think it's going to cost.
£50, yeah.
So it's effectively shrinking. Roku box was already tiny anyway, but they have now taken the Google angle on it and actually shrunk it down. So it's literally you just poke it into an HDMI socket.
Which is, when you think about a lot of the flat screen TVs now, you know, it's like a lot of people just, you know, you don't want cables. And just to have a, you know, that and a little USB slot or an HDMI slot is fantastic.
It's so... And so easy to take around, you know, it becomes like, I'll bring my little stick. Don't even have to
absolutely.
Think about plugging it all in. It's just,
no, absolutely.
As long as they got wireless in their house, off you go.
Yeah.
I'll stream some of my photos from a phone here. Let me plug this in.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like everybody can carry one of those around. You know, you think if you were traveling a lot, you know, just put that in. It's just the problem you've got is just making sure you get some data somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. You just got to get an internet connection. So that's they've got apps for Android and iPhone as well. So, like I say, it will enable you to do exactly that. Just, you know, take it around someone's house and ping, you know, bore people with your photo albums. BBC Three is going to disappear. Well, it's going to be disappear from our TV channels, our free-to-air. It's going to go iPlayer only. Kind of not unexpected, because they have to save money. They've got to save about 100 million, and they reckon they're going to be able to do that by shipping BBC Three off. BBC Four is going to stay.
Yeah. And I certainly watch more BBC Three than BBC Four.
See, I would say I'm probably the other way around. I watch very little of both, actually, but I would say, you know, I'd say it's because I'm cultured.
I did see one of the directors, one of the comedy directors, who just said, well, with today's announcement, BBC's went more white, more middle class.
And less Scottish.
I can't remember the third one.
Yeah, it's... I mean, some of the BBC Three content has been cutting edge, but the thing is they can adjust that content and shift it onto the main BBC One, BBC Two. They can put BBC Two back to being a little bit more like BBC Three, as in that's where it used to be. That kind of BBC comedy. Three content was at BBC
yeah,
Two.
Yeah, a lot of comedy's disappeared from Two. You know, Two
yes,
was
but now they can
channel.
Put that back. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's the flexibility they've got. They want to go to BBC One Plus One service and they're going to extend CBBC into another hour into the evening. So it goes to 7 at the moment. It's going to go to 8.
And I think the other thing they were saying was if you look at the demographics, a lot of people watched it on iPlayer anyway.
Yes.
And a lot of people caught up in the content on it. That was their main or one of their...
Yes, their audience that are watching that kind of stuff, they are hooked up to technology anyway. So
yeah.
They're the youth. Three has done what it said it was going to do. It's rolled out a free 4G upgrade for anyone with a 4G handset. It is an unlimited package as long as you are not tethering. If you are tethered, then it is limited to 2 gig per month. They had to do it, really.
And they have. So I now do get 4G in Glasgow in certain areas. It's not citywide.
Yeah.
And speed-wise, it's not fantastic. You know, maybe between 10 and 15, it's, you know, meg.
It's still, if you take, you know, just even a couple of years back, it's lightning.
Absolutely. And even where my office is, I'm getting maybe 1 meg on 3, on 3G, sorry. You know, so getting 10 meg is like a real, you know, shot in the arm. And I'm paying the same price and it's unlimited.
Yeah. But to say, for the people that were using it tethering, that has now been limited down, or rather it will be for when their contract expires and for new takers up. Because basically their network can't cope with that. They can't have people using it as their broadband.
And we kind of talked about this last year, you know, when they came out and said we're not, you know, everybody else was, what, doubling the price almost and saying, and also putting in fairly severe, you know, data limits. We thought, how are they going to do this? So something had to give.
Yeah. Well, it's just unrealistic to expect their network to support people using it constantly for their main data aggregation. Anyway, that's not what it's there for. Anyway, so it probably caused a lot of stink for some people, but there you go.
Plucky Three, well done.
They're still ploughing their own furrow, something like that. On live, they've come back. We mentioned them the other day, so where did they go? Well, they've come back. Head of IGN, Mark Young, is going to take the reins. They had filed for bankruptcy because pretty much it didn't work before, but they've changed their model slightly for what they're going to do. So no longer are they selling, or rather they're not going to... It's a subscription service, right? Now.
Yeah. So you're going to pay like $15 a month. And there seem to be, they're calling it what's called like I think the old one was a PlayPass service and it's now called CloudLift. So £15 a month, you subscribe to it, but it kind of hooks up with what they're looking to do is hook up the Steam, for example. And, you know, if you've already got games, then you'd then be supported from a streaming aspect as well. So I guess they're hoping that people, you know, maybe more mobile, are looking to maybe play elsewhere, stream their content. Mm. Or not store their content and just, you know, oh, I fancy playing that today. I don't need to download and install it. I can just play it.
I'm stumbling because I don't know where it'd fit into my world, if you like. I'm sure there are people out there it would fit into their world. But we've seen a lot of companies sort of take on this mantle of we're a streaming game service. But I don't see consumers getting that excited by it, really.
I still think, and I know this is pretty cynical, I think the only reason they're going still is that they saw Sony buying, I can't remember.
They want to be bought out. Yeah, I know.
Sony bought almost like they're one of their main competitors, and it looks like, you know, later this year into next year, they're going to do, you know, basically a streaming service of older games and see if that takes off. I think they're hoping Microsoft will be like, crap.
Hey, there's an existing service here.
We need to compete. You know, that's another, if you look at all the different bits of the jigsaw, that's one that we're missing.
You might very well be right. It could be something else that doesn't work.
Because it died last time. You know, it was unsustainable. Well, people didn't buy into it.
To be fair, it got much, much further than we ever thought it would. But it clearly didn't go far enough.
Yeah, that's
and they
true.
Clearly started having to take money off of consumers before a product was ready, basically. Which is fine if you sat next to the exchange box, but for anyone else, it was not very good. Right. Xbox, we've had their March updates. My Xbox Saturn did its update the other day, and it added features back in that were removed, basically, from Xbox 360 to Xbox One. We've talked about most of these features in previous podcasts, but just to reiterate, it's things like, you know, in-game, we will now have a menu that says invite friends, which no longer do you actually have to go back to the homepage to go and invite friends. Your friends list will actually show your friends that are online. Great. And when you party with people, you can now chat to them without having to go in and alter that.
That was the one that was that I couldn't. I just, what was the rationale behind that decision? Who made that decision? Because it should be shot in the knee.
Yes.
Why would I invite you to a party chat?
Because you want to talk to the people in your game, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And then go into another option and say, actually, I want to turn that chat on now.
Yeah. And it not being up front and center, you had to go and find it. You had to hunt it out. It's really weird.
I just remember day one.
What?
All of us getting tripped up. And going,
I still am. I still can't.
Hello?
I still don't know how to work it.
Hello?
Yeah, exactly.
Hello? And then sending messages, you need to turn chat on.
Yeah. No, I still cannot work it. I mean, anyway, so it's slightly, say, more intuitive, but we're still not there yet. We're still, it's the right direction, just still not quite there. 50 hertz output might encourage me to put my Sky back through it again, because it was, it looked dark and it stuttered, basically, when I used to use it. So maybe I'll go back to pumping that back through my Xbox. And there's a few other bits and pieces there, but again, all kind of standard stuff. They've got a controller hardware upgrade as well.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, there's a couple of new physical headsets. There's a new headset out, and there's a new media remote that have come out, so the update was for that. But also, it's the first time that I've had a controller that I have to actually firmware update.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is weird. And the way you do it, because you'd think they would be upfront and tell you about that as well, but no, you need to plug it in via the cable. You then need to go into, I had to write it down, you go to settings, then go into system settings, and then actually you've got to see update controller. It won't do it itself.
So that does seem
bizarre.
A bit
bizarre.
It seems very bizarre, because you would, in a console world, you just want it to be done. Do I have a cable for my controller?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know where.
That's how you charge it.
You just not got to play and charge.
That's right, because you had to buy the play and charge. So yeah, you need to find a micro USB cable.
Okay. Handy.
And this is the thing, as you're saying, in a console world, the whole thing was supposed to be everybody an even playing field. Everything just works. You don't need to worry about drivers and updates and all that kind of stuff. And that's why I was a bit annoyed a couple of weeks ago when the update was like, you might have it and I won't. You know, to me, it should just roll out. Next time I turn it on, it should be like, oh, I've got to go and get an update, go and download. But it was this random reboot. Nope, it's not picking it up. It's all a bit strange. And this is another one. And the tweaks are seemingly, I'm sure they're not vital, but
no. But
Remedy, who are the makers of Titanfall, have teamed up with Microsoft, and seemingly Remedy had a whole load of access during the build of the Xbox, and that's why it kind of went exclusive as well. That was the kind of stuff that's come out through the week.
Right.
But they've kind of tweaked the controller, tightened up the controls, made it far more suitable, you know, for a first-person shooter. So it'll be interesting.
Shows
how
important
people...
Titanfall is to the Xbox One if they're giving them that
Absolutely.
Much flex on it. So they know it's important. In other news, I have actually been using my Xbox One for games this week.
Wow.
I know, amazing. So I actually have played a little bit of Battlefield, which I'm not that fussed about. And I'm not the online, just the campaign.
For goodness sake, I've never even tried the campaign.
it's a bit flaky, a bit rubbish.
Yeah. I think the reason I didn't try it was I'd read things like, you know, it crashes out and you need to start again. And I was like, well, I get so little interest in campaigns as it is.
Pop up. I mean, when you stop, especially if you just stop and look at it, it is impressive the amount of detail you get in games now. But say, I think we've mentioned this before, PC games are beyond it in terms of detail. Therefore, it's not that gobsmacking. But when you actually stop and assess the situation, it is amazing. But it's just little things like a horrible pop-up and texture drop in and weird collision detections and stuff.
No, absolutely.
Suddenly it grates, and because the game has obviously not been quite polished in that.
But it's more than great. See, so you're playing online and on the big couple of the kind of bigger, and you know what Battlefield's like for these big maps. Some of them are massive. And there's a couple, there's one in particular where it's like these two skyscrapers in the middle and lots of fighting takes place there. If it gets bombarded enough, they do collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know they're collapsing, not because of the noise or the but it's like...
frame rate goes to zero.
You know, it's just like, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
And there's just, it's just lacking that polish. But then I saw through the week, the developers actually put out and said, you know, our number one issue is the netcode's not good enough. And it's like, this is now 4 months.
Yeah.
And it's not just Xbox One. This is across...
Yeah, I don't think we should undersell what kind of it goes into that kind of stuff. It's a pretty hard task to go and do that. But anyway,
absolutely.
You know, we always have problems with early games, but
Well, we need to see.
You
if
expect
we can,
them to get solved, don't you? That's the thing.
We need to see if I can tempt you online, because some of the online maps are actually really nice.
Well, you will find me currently in gardens fighting zombies with plants.
Oh dear.
Plants vs. Zombies online thing. It's basically Team Fortress with Plants vs. Zombies. It's quite fun.
Is it?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. I thought it was just going to be a glorified Plants vs. Zombies game, but actually it is Team Fortress with different classes. So it's worth a look. 12 versus 12 battles, so it's actually quite good in scale as well.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like uneasy. This is like you recommending a game on the Xbox One to me.
I know. And it was even quite fun. Who knew? Who knew?
I remain suspicious. I have been hovering over a buy button about a PS4.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's not cheap, though. I think it was £34 to go and buy that. So it was expensive bait game to go and buy. Exactly.
I ain't buying that. Not with Titanfall coming out next week.
Yeah. But just have a look at the reviews. Reviews have been fairly good. It's good. It's good for old-fashioned fun. So anyway, I'll put it as a pick, a kind of tentative pick. What about you? Have you got one?
No.
Amazing. Right, so that is the end of the news, and it's the end of the podcast then. If you want to find out more about what we are, what we do, digitaloutbox.com is the website. You can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and Twitter, Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian?
I'm on Twitter as Shripa. My blog is iand.next. iand.next? Iand.net.
You mean you bought one of those trendy new levels of A's?
I noticed people like buying Chris.sexy and all that kind of stuff.
Ah, you found me out. I got blocked by the filters. Right.
Yeah.
Speak to you next week. Bye.
Ta-da. Chris.sexy.
Hi.